So, anyway, y'all, tonight we're going to be in Ephesians, right? We have gone rapidly through the first chapter, haven't we? Oh, man, we're sailing through this. We'll be done with the first chapter maybe tonight. It's so good. It's great. When we started this study, I told you, Ephesians is like the Alps. Right? We're going to go up to the heights. And it's a slow climb. So we're slowly scaling the heights. Now, the theme of the book of Ephesians is the riches in Christ. Our riches in Christ. Exactly. Y'all knew there would be a test today, right? Look, school's back in session. Summer break's over. We're serious now. Okay, so over the last 2 weeks, we've taken a look at some of these riches, right? We saw in verse 4 that He chose us. We're chosen. We saw in verse 5 that He predestined us to adoption as sons. Oh, thank you, Lord, for children. Verse 6, He's made us accepted. In verse 7, we have redemption in His blood. In verse 7, we have forgiveness by His grace. In verse 9, God has made known to us the mystery of His will. In verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. And we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, and we have a guarantee from God of an inheritance. Now, I told you last week that as Paul was writing this, it appears that as he's enumerating the blessings that we have in Christ, that he can't contain himself. He says to the Ephesians here, we're going to pick up again. In verse 15, therefore, because of the blessings that we have in Christ, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in awe. Oh, that's a great... He's praying. Paul's praying right here. Listen, if you don't know how to pray for me, just start right here. Just pray word for word what Paul prayed. It's biblical praying. Hey, I prayed for y'all this week. Biblical praying right here. I was praying for my aunt. What was I praying? The Lord would open up her eyes, right? That should have spiritual understanding. Oh, this is a great prayer. Paul, he begins here. He says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love of all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. After I heard of your faith and your love for all the saints. Well, your love That's a demonstration of where you're at, right? Isn't that what the Lord said? He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, so also should you love one another. By this the world will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. The demonstration that we belong to Him. The demonstration that we're actually saints. Right? He says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints. Hey, that's how you know you're the real deal. John, in 1 John, he says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And the truth is not in him. For he who does not love his brother whom he sees, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. Are you a disciple of Christ? Do you have love for the saints? That's the evidence here, folks. This is the evidence. It's not this woo-woo stuff. It's not this exciting stuff. It's very, very simple and very, very practical. Do you love the brothers and sisters? Do you love them when you meet them? You don't know who they are sometimes. Sometimes you're at Winn-Dixie and you run into somebody with your cart and they're just real gracious about it and loving and kind. And you say, hey, do you know the Lord? And they say, yeah. You go, oh man, I thought so. Right? Because just how they were acting towards you. Right? They're showing that they're a saint, that they're filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The demonstration of the Spirit is seen in many, many ways. But first, the first evidence, the first proof is that love. Do we have love for one another? It's easy for us to say we love God, isn't it? Oh man, I love God. I don't know about you, Roy. I love God, though. I'm not sure about that, Roy. Man, that Roy really bugs me, man. He bugs me. Gets on my nerves. Gives me a headache. Oh, I love Jesus. Right? Right? The demonstration is that we love one another. Right? That we're giving grace to one another. Roy, he doesn't give me a headache. I don't think. No. No. You know, but that's the demonstration that we're the real deal, that we have been saved, that we are being saved, that the Lord is working in our lives, is that love is being demonstrated. And Paul says, because of this, man, just because of your love and what I hear about you, I can't help but make mention of you in my prayers. Oh, I can't think of it. I just drew a blank. Roseanne and Jeff McKinney. Oh, I got an email from Jeff. He says, thanks. We love you. Oh, how cool, huh? Those guys are so cool that I just see the love of Jesus in them, that I can't help to make mention of them in my prayers, right? That's how it is when that love comes shining forth, people start praying for you, right? Go, oh man, we just see the love of Jesus in them. Tom and Cheryl. Did y'all pray for Tom and Cheryl yesterday when you heard about the bus in Jerusalem being blown up? First thing I did is, oh Lord, I hope they're okay. Right? Excuse me. That's going to be a bad tape. First thing I did is I prayed for Tom and Cheryl. You know, the people that I knew. I can't help but make mention of them in my prayers. And then Paul, he gives a model for intercessory prayer here. Four things that we see. He says in 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's the first thing. The second thing, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. The third thing, that you may know what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. And the fourth thing is that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Four things that He gives us here. The first thing is revelation. We like having revelation, don't we, Tony? We're like Peter. I have revelation. You said it to me Sunday. You said, God just revealed this to me. Revelation. This is what revelation is. It is the act or process of revealing or the state of being revealed or unveiled. Unveiled. God just unveiled it to me. Oh, man, we all need revelation from the Lord, right? We all need that. Now, there's a general revelation that God has given to man. To all men. Don't think you're special, okay? Well, I'm special. I'm God's favorite. He gives me a lot more grace than He gives the rest of you, I'm sure. I need it more. Exactly. Psalm 19. Go to Psalm 19. God's revelation. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Hey, that's revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Well, we see revelation here in nature, in the creation. Paul wrote the same thing in Romans, right? In Romans 1, 19 and 20, he says, what may be known of God is manifest in them. That's in people. In them. In us. For God has shown it to them. God has given us revelation. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. Take a look at nature. There's God's revelation. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look, God has revealed Himself to man. The heavens declare, earth declares, creation declares, so that we are without excuse. He has given us revelation of Himself. He has placed eternity into our hearts, a desire to know Him. He has revealed Himself to us in our conscience. Right? Right? Come on, who stole a yo-yo when they were a kid? Okay, me and you, we're the yo-yo thieves. Oh, okay. Okay, who stole gum too? Oh, sunglasses. You know, we could get a mini mart going here if you all would go back to work. No. When we did those things as children, man, didn't you know? Oh, man, wasn't your conscience just screaming at you? Remember? Oh, I do. God places that inside of us. It's revelation of Him. Now, He doesn't stop there, right? That's general revelation. But there's also another revelation here. Paul says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Now, NAS, Tony, does it say the eyes of your heart? Pardon me? Eyes of your heart. When we sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yeah, when we say that, sing that, we're saying, open the eyes of our understanding. That's where that comes from. Open the eyes of our understanding. Give us understanding in our heart. This is amazing. God cares more about understanding with the heart than with the head. We're not saying turn your brain off. Certainly not saying that. But there are people that can know facts and figures, who can quote Scripture, who's going to miss heaven by 12 inches because it never sunk down from the head into the heart. We need to have understanding with our heart, spiritual understanding, where we read the Scripture and it just, boom, it explodes. You've done it before, right? Oh, remember when you first came to Jesus? Every page, it was, I would sit there and I'd tell Amy, did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see what God said here? She'd say, yeah. Well, why aren't you like this? Why aren't you bug-eyed like me and jumping up and down? This is amazing. Oh, He predestined us to adoption as sons. Oh, amazing. Remember before you were saved? Come on, you probably did this. You picked up the Bible, right? You were going to be religious. You were going to be holy. Remember? You picked up the Bible and you started reading. And you went, huh? This is so vague. It's so specific now to your life, isn't it? Yeah, it can be vague if you have no understanding. Paul, something like scales dropped off of his eyes. Remember when he was converted? That's how it was with me. Wasn't it that way with you that all of a sudden it just exploded? It just made sense. It was so real. It was like, why don't they get this? Right? How many times have we said that about people? Oh, why don't they get this? It's so clear. It just says what it says. It means what it says. Why? Because the Lord gave us spiritual enlightenment. Now, that doesn't end. That isn't a one-time shot. The best thing that we can do is to read the Scripture on our knees or on our face or in your recliner or under your prayer blanket or in your prayer closet or whatever your weird trip with God is. I know you do goofy things along with the Lord. I know I'm not the only one. But when you're spending time with the Lord, that He would give you spiritual enlightenment, that He would open up the eyes of your heart to understand. Look, pray for me. I get the opportunity to teach you about things that I don't know. It's way cool. And the Lord has been gracious and has opened up my eyes. But But man, I'm telling you, every Thursday when I start in Leviticus, it's like, oh, I started on Sunday, I read ahead. It's like, oh, I don't want to go to that chapter. I don't know what I'm going to teach. Lord, can we just blow through this? But then the Lord, as I'm studying during the week, gives me a little piece here and a little piece there, takes me through this trial so I can see, so I can have understanding, so I can come and I can teach. And He wants to do the same thing in each of our lives, right? He wants to open up Himself to us. What does it say here? Let's go back. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Oh, now this revelation has a purpose. The purpose of the revelation is that we get to know God. Isn't that cool? And it's not just facts and figures. It's not knowing about God. That's gnosis. No, knowledge in the Greek. This is epigenosis. Epigenosis. It's knowing Him experientially. Oh, hanging out with someone, right? I know President Bush. You know what? I am getting very concerned about our relationship, though. He hasn't answered one of my emails. Not one. I'm sorry, the president is very busy at this time. Well, so am I. But I took time out of my day to write to him. I'm not sure about this relationship. I'm not sure if we have a relationship. But God wants us to know Him experientially. He wants me to email. Huh? He wants me to communicate with Him, and He wants to communicate back. He wants to enter into a relationship, an experiential knowledge of Him. Oh, that's what He wants for me. And here's the thing. He doesn't hide Himself from me, right? He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, right? He wants us to know Him. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. You know, there is so little that we actually know about God. There is so, so very little. But as we open up His Word, we come to know Him, right? Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right. So we study, we study, we pray, we ask the Lord to open up our hearts to have knowledge of Him and understanding. It says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God reveals Himself to us. In Jeremiah 23 and 24, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That's what God says. Man, you want to glory in something? Glory in knowing me. And I'm going to give you revelation. I'm going to unveil myself before you so that you can know me. He says in Jeremiah 24:7 that He will give a heart to know Him. He will give us that heart. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is real knowledge, having that experiential knowledge of God. That's what it really means to live. You know, you see the beer commercials? Oh, that's really living. No, it's not. That's really drinking beer, maybe. But it's not really living. This is life, to know you and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. That's really living. That's what gives life meaning, is when we begin to experience God in our life, to have real understanding of who He is. The second thing that Paul says here, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That you may know the hope of His calling is number two. The hope of His calling. I love hope. It's one of my favorite. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, right? Hope does not disappoint. It's an interesting thing, because people in the world, they're always wishing and hoping, you know, just wishing and hoping. Oh, I wish, I hope, I hope so. The worldly hope is akin to a wish. It's a thought. It's a desire for some action to occur with a dreaded expectation that it won't. Oh, I hope so. Oh, I hope you're right. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is that blessed assurance. The hope, the assurance of His calling. Right. What hope, what assurance do we have in Christ? Eternal life. Yeah. Forgiveness of sins. Hey, I hope my sins are forgiven. No. Yeah. My hope is my sins are forgiven. Right? It's a done deal. My hope is that when I die, I don't stay in the grave, man. My hope is the resurrection. Man. Hey, if this earthly tent passes away, I have a new home, not made with human hands, eternal in the heavenlies. Cool. Moving day. Way cool. My aunt? Oh, my mama, she's funny. She's praying for her and stuff. And, oh, yeah, and the funeral is at 9 o'clock Friday. And if you would say a prayer for her, it's like, Mom, it's a done deal. Okay? We don't pray for the dead. We pray for the living. Right? My aunt, she has a new body, new model, new Ferrari. I don't know. It's some kind of hot body, right? Me, I'm going to be buff, okay? Golden hair, long, lots of it. Oh, I'm going to be gorgeous, man. I just can't wait. But we have that hope, right? That not this body, but a new body. We have a hope of spending eternity with Jesus. Hey, it's cool being with Jesus here. But being with Him face to face, that's our hope. That's our assurance. That's the hope of our calling here. He says, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? The riches of the glory could be translated glorious riches. It speaks of an abundance of wealth. It speaks of an inexhaustible supply. It doesn't matter how much you have in this life. You can go through it. Mike Tyson is our example. Mike Tyson's our example for a lot of things of what not to do, right? $300 million ran through this guy's hands. How is that possible? $300 million. I would think $300 million would be an inexhaustible supply. But no. You can go through it. Lots of actors, actresses, famous people, rich people, they found out that their riches were temporary, right? Riches are temporal, but God's riches are eternal. We never run out. They're exceedingly abundant. They're inexhaustible. Our inheritance is in him. And all that he has, he says he will share that with us. Wow. An inexhaustible supply, he can give you an inexhaustible supply, and that infinite inexhaustible supply still doesn't run out. What an amazing thing. Wow. That you may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Listen, in Corinthians it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Paul, he said, I knew a man 14 years ago. In the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows, right? He said, who was taken up to the third heaven, who heard things that if he were to utter, it would be a crime. What did he see? We don't know. You know, we get little glimpses of God. But the glory of God, this book can't contain the glory of God, y'all. This is great, and it's marvelous. And if we could ever get to the depths of it, which we won't, that'd be a cool thing, right? But this book cannot contain the glory of God. We have pictures, little pictures of eternity in Revelation 21. You can turn there. In verse 3 in Revelation 21, it says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is heaven. This is eternity. A little glimpse, okay? No pain. Hey, I'm in for that. No tears. I'm not sure, because I cry a lot and I have tears of joy. Maybe no tears of sadness or sorrow. But it says that God will wipe away every tear. So if I'm crying for joy, he's going to be there wiping my tears. Cool. Oh, Steve, you big crybaby. Yeah, I told you he's my favorite. He's just sitting there wiping my tears. Right? No death, no sorrow. This is great. In verse 9 of 21, it says the city, it's called the city of God. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. Is that cool? Go to 22. Go to 22. Verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So there's a river coming from God's throne. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is your inheritance, y'all. This is a little glimpse of your inheritance. Now, you know when you go to the movies and they give you those previews of coming attractions? That's what this is. This is just a little soundbite. A little 60-second clip of eternity. Oh, cool. Cool. That's just a part, and it's going to be eternal. That is so awesome. But check this out. The verse says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? See, I took you down a path, and you're looking at our inheritance. But that's not what the verse says. The verse says, of his inheritance in the saints. Isn't this an amazing thing? Look at our inheritance. Look at what we get. Look what he gets. Is that amazing? His inheritance is you. It's me. It's us. The author of Hebrews, he writes this amazing statement. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is the joy set before him? Us. Oh, doesn't that just tickle you? It does me. God is so good. His love is so amazing. His grace, the things that he wants to give to us, the riches of the glory of our inheritance. Man, we need to know the riches of our inheritance. And it will just amaze you when you see his inheritance, which is us, right? The last thing Paul prays for is that they might know, in verse 19 of Ephesians 1, that they might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Wow. What is the greatness of his power? Oh, we see his power being manifested, right? We see his power in creation. We see his power in the heavenlies. We see his power in his ability to raise Jesus from the dead. Wow. That is real power. The world claws, struggles, fights for power. This thing, Mississippi politics, it's all about power. Middle East, about power. New York City, lack of power. Right? Power! Or Gail Irwin, power! Or whatever he does. Power! Yeah. Power. Real power is the power of life. It's the power that God demonstrated when Jesus rose. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is working mightily in you. You need to get this, because sometimes you're walking around like you ain't got no power. Right? Well, you're to do nothing. You're to pray, and you're to let God use the power that He has working mightily in you to deal with the situation. Right? I guess somebody heard that recently. Look, y'all don't need to tell on yourselves, okay? But it's true, right? We don't have any power. God has the power, and He's working that power in and through us. He's working on us. He's working through us in the world. He's using us to demonstrate His power, to demonstrate who He is, that we might know that. Man, we got to know that, don't we? Don't we need to know this? This is essentials. This is Christianity 101. We need to know that He's working in us, that power is working in us. We see it demonstrated in the book of Acts. Right? The early church. Take a look at the early church. Look, one day they're hiding in a room. They're hiding. Why? Because they're scared that those guys that killed Jesus were next. If I know it. Right? Oh. The next thing, you see them there, they're praying, and they receive power. Then right away, you see Peter and John walking in where? To the temple! Who's in the temple? Caiaphas! Who's Caiaphas? He's the high priest! And the Sanhedrin! Those guys! And what are they doing? They're saying, you need to repent because you killed the Lord of glory. Huh? What happened? Resurrection power. The power of the Holy Spirit working in them. Giving them boldness. Right? Boldness what? To go and beat people up? No. To be witnesses of Jesus Christ. That's what that power is used for. It isn't power for me. So I can wow you with this woo-woo stuff. Let me prophesy over you. Come on. I believe in prophecy. But this power is bigger than thus saith the Lord. This power is to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Look, I believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues. But it isn't to woo you. Woo-woo stuff. Woo! Oh, Steve, he's got this power and he knows my inner thoughts. That's bunk, man. It's garbage. This is real power, is when we demonstrate the grace, the love, Jesus Christ, his shed blood on the cross, its ability to take your life and to change your life into for you to be everything that God wants you to be. That is real power. I want to see people's lives changed. The theatrics, you can keep it. I'm not interested. I want to see fruit in people's lives. That's a demonstration of real power. That's what happens. When y'all got saved, your life changed. You stopped doing certain things. You started doing other things with your life. There was a demonstration of God's power in your life. Now the fruit of the Spirit might have been manifested, and the Holy Spirit might have been manifested in a lot of different ways. But there had to be one thing. There had to be love. There had to be a changed life. That's the real deal. That's what we look for, folks. This other stuff, it all follows. Okay? Please don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm saying that I'm discounting what the Holy Spirit does. What I am saying is I discount what people do and blame on the Holy Spirit, or a credit to the Holy Spirit, or say some way the Holy Spirit made me do that. I just have a hard time with that. What is the exceeding greatness of the power toward us who believe? The power toward us who believe is this: power to salvation. Power to have a changed life. Power to love the unlovable. Right? Power to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm losing it here in my home. I need your grace right now. Right? Power when I'm driving down the road and the guy yelling at me. I don't know why he's yelling, but he's yelling at me. Power to go, yeah, Jesus, man. Right? That's real power. That's real power. Power to go through those bad things that happen to 5-year-old kids. Right? With grace. That's real power. That's the demonstration of his power that we want to see in our lives, right? That's the real deal. It's power in everyday life. That is what Paul is talking about here. He says that power is working in us, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Jesus is our sole authority. He's above all things. He has the power. And he's the head over all things, the church. And we're his body. And we need to be acting like that. Like his body, getting our direction from him, being moved by him, listening to him, hearing from him. Oh, this is good stuff, y'all. I want to pray for y'all. Would you bow your head? Father God, we can't do any better than you've already done, Lord. So our prayer tonight, Lord, is that you, God, the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that, Lord, you would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, Lord. That we might know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And you put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Lord, we just submit to you. We submit to you, to your power, Lord. We need you in our lives, Jesus. We need to know. We need to know you. We need to know you more. We need to know this hope of your calling and the glory, Lord, that you have for us. Lord, just reveal it to us by revelation, God. Give it to us, Lord. We pray for the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us real power, that resurrection power, Lord. We seek gifts of the Spirit, Lord. Any gift that you have for us, Lord, we're open and we're willing to receive. And we pray for a demonstration of those gifts in our life, Lord. For we want it to be real. We want to see love. We want to see fruit, Lord. We want to see that demonstration manifested in our daily lives, Lord. Only then can we go out and prophesy, go out and lay hands on people for healing, speak in tongues, pray in the tongues of men and angels, Lord. Only then, only after we see that demonstration in our lives and our homes, Lord. So, Father, we just come to you. We submit to you. We just seek everything that you have for us, Lord. We ask for your blessing. We pray, Lord, that you go with us this day for your glory's sake, that you would fill us up and pour us out in this world, Lord. For your name, for your honor, in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.